WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Recycling is a little bit more of a pain than they let on. You know, we're going to start recycling newspapers. All right, great. I got some newspapers right here. All right, you're going to have to bundle those up in twine. Twine? What is this, Little House on the Prairie? Where do you even find twine? You have to go to your hardware store. I'm just not going to read newspapers. Sounds easier than finding twine.
The
Don and Mike
Show. Love said alone. The second greatest show on earth, the Don and Mike Program.
That was Jim Gaffigan, who's on our telephone now.
Good.
He's got a new show on CBS coming out. Real funny stand-up guy. And also, I believe, really involved in that thing with Conan O'Brien, that thing on the web that I like, that the Pale Ryan, the... Dagnabbit. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Hey, dude, what's happening?
Not much.
Pale Force. You're in Pale Force with Conan O'Brien, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that thing is funny as hell.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, everything you do is...
It's funny, but it sounds scary.
Well, it is scary. It's scary how pale I am.
One of the tragically white people in America.
Yes. I'm so white, I found out I'm too white to be Mormon.
Wow. So that's white, man.
That's pretty white.
So this dude has been on, I've seen him on Letterman. I've heard him on ONA. I've seen him do stand-up stuff.
Right.
And now you have, what is this thing, My Boys, on TBS, Jim?
My Boys is, it's a half-hour comedy, a single-camera show that's on TBS, and, you know, it's about a gal living in Chicago, a single gal, and I play her older brother who's married and has a kid and is miserable.
So you don't get the girl in this?
Well, you know, it would be kind of, it would be a, maybe if it was on HBO, I'd get the girl.
And Buzz, I bet the reason that you are interested in Jim is the fact that didn't Letterman put together that sitcom that you were on? Oh, my gosh, I've lost my train of thought.
Welcome to New York.
Thank That's you. It.
That
you remember that one,
great.
Buzz?
I do. I watched every episode.
Well, that was based on an appearance that you did on Letterman, right? I mean,
yeah.
that's what motivated him to get you involved in that.
Yeah, I literally, you know, being from Indiana, you know, getting on Letterman was a big to-do. So when I finally did it, you know, afterwards.
And that's very Indiana that you would say big to-do.
It is.
That's an Indiana expression, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jim, I'm sorry. So anyway, you were on with Buzz. I was asking you about this.
That's right. The Welcome to New York show.
The Letterman show.
Loves that show.
Yeah.
Half-hour sitcom, great. Nothing like it on TV before or since.
Buzz is kind of a Letterman aficionado. You might have known about that.
I've seen Jim do stand-up in New York.
Jim,
well.
Are you one of those guys that falls into the category? I mean, you've been on Letterman a million times. You've been on so many late-night talk shows. You've done film. You've done TV. You still fall into the category of, I would imagine you walk through airports and people point at you and say, you're that guy, right?
Oh, yeah. I definitely get a lot of that.
Commercials.
Well, you know, I get a lot of people pointing at me in airports saying "Hot Pockets,"
because you've done the commercials too.
You know, I feel so stupid. I just looking at his bio now. Of course, well, here is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gaffigan is the creative force in Pale Four. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Welcome to New York debuted. You're on the Ellen Show, 70s Show, all of the Law and Order shows. Ed, my God, you're a whore. I didn't even know you do all that stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, that's something about being that guy.
That guy, that, you're that guy.
Do those things, and it doesn't, you know, distract from, you know, everyday life. But it's all good. You know, I'm really excited about, you know, I've been going to D.C. I went to college in D.C. I went to Georgetown. And so I've been going down doing stand-up in D.C. for, I don't know, gosh, like I've been doing stand-up for 15 years. So
now, are you one of these guys that still likes to do that even when you're working hard on a sitcom or you're doing a film? You still like to keep your hand in the sitcom, in the stand-up arena?
Oh, yeah. No, stand-up is definitely, it's not something that I kind of see as something that I could ever really stop doing. I just enjoy it that much, and we there's a second show that was added at the Warner Theater, and I am one.
Aren't we all?
And are we talking about this show that November 30th and December 1st?
Yes.
My gosh, very what popular. A whore.
That's oh, like he's going to sell them both out.
It's a six-month whore in
he's
advance.
Sold out today.
What about the fact that the show that you're going to have on TBS? I'm noticing now that it seems the only way to find a sitcom, and I'm no fan of the sitcom, but they're not on regular TV anymore. It's like on TBS. You got the guy from the Redneck Show that's got one. You got
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
What's his name? Tyler, what's his name? He's got a show.
Caliendo's going to have a show on TBS also.
How did they approach you about that?
Well, you know, it's, you know, the TV world is so weird anyway, you know, and the acting business, I love acting, but it's really kind of, you know, it's like begging for a job when you audition for things. And when you develop a show, it's really kind of a crapshoot. So it's really this kind of long process of either development or this long process of auditioning where you end up finding the right job, and occasionally you get offered things, and I was offered My Boys, and, you know, it's not a huge part, but, you know, it's a real fun group of people, and, you know, I always have a great time working on it.
And you go through a lot of layers in both processes, don't you, in some cases? I mean, if you're auditioning or you're pitching a new show, it's just, you know, it's not wham, bam, and it's done. Sometimes you have to audition two and three times, maybe even four or five times, right?
Yeah, no, it's really, it's definitely not, you know, like you're in a soda shop and you're discovered.
It doesn't work that way.
There's,
unless Letterman likes you.
Letterman's a good egg. He's a good egg. Yeah.
You know. Jim, who do you think is funny now and who sucks right now? Who's a comedian that just sucks right now and a comedian that cracks your ass up?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think Brian Regan's a great comedian. And, you know, I still laugh at Bill Murray whenever he does some stuff. So, but
who's a hack? Who's the biggest hack out there right now?
You know, hack-wise, it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, I've been doing stand-up so long that, like, I literally go out of my way not to watch stand-up unless it's like a friend. So it's like...
But aren't you in that Jerry Seinfeld fraternity? I mean, I seen that movie Comedian where you all go to all-night diners and sit around and talk about your craft and how you mold a joke. And you don't do that crap, do you?
Not really. No, I mean, I spent too many years, and you know, I'm you know, I kind of would rather hang out with like the wait staff than you know, there is something to be said for, you know, hanging out with comedian friends, but you know, I got two small kids, so it's like it's not like I want to sit in a bar and you know, you know, I did that. You know what I mean? I've been around for 15 years and you know, definitely when I do shows out of town, I hang out afterwards and have a couple drinks. But, you know, hearing, you know, other comedians talk about comedy, it is fun and it's fascinating. But it's also one of those things where I usually got to get up and audition for some acting job I'm not going to get. So I don't really have...
And like most comedians, are you disappointed and bitter with life in general?
No,
like most people.
I got a pretty good gig going.
Now you do, but I mean, you think of comedians, you know. I mean, they, you know, they're angry, bitter guys mostly, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, saying all comedians are one way. I mean, there's definitely stereotypes that are probably true.
That's what we like to do on this show. We like to stereotype.
But you know, it's like you know, it's kind of like comparing, you know, James Taylor to like John Legend. You know, I mean, it's like they're pretty different. You know what I mean? It's like
there's no comparison at all. You're beautiful. Shower the people with love. That's what I say to you, Jim Gaffigan. You're a handsome man.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're now, what is your average day like? What is your schedule like right now?
I get up and I cry for an hour.
Is that the answer you wanted, Mike?
That's exactly
and then
what I
need a point. I write in my big journal.
How old are your kids?
My kids are 3 and a year and a half.
Oh, ooh, my wow. God. No wonder, you sound tired. No wonder.
How much money did you get for that Hot Pockets commercial?
Well, you know, I didn't do a Hot Pockets commercial. I have jokes about you're thinking of Sierra Mist.
I'm sorry. Right, yeah, right. That's how much you get paid for that one?
I got paid $1 billion.
Thank you for the honest answer.
I literally, you may think I'm lying, but I was paid $1 billion.
That's cool. I appreciate the
honesty.
That is
the, I mean, you could really take all the other stuff away. You could actually, you know, make a fine living doing commercials. They're guys that, you know, make a career out of it, do it for the rest of their lives, and you never see them anywhere else. Isn't that true?
That is true. I mean, some of that is, you know, there's, you know, you can't really count on a yearly income on commercials, but you could definitely make a good living.
Hey, Jim, here's a question for you. What's new with comedian Michael Richards?
What's that?
What's new with Michael Richards, Crazy Kramer, and his fascination with the N-word?
Well, you know, at the...
That's a timely question, right?
Oh, absolutely.
At the recent meeting of comedians...
what did you decide?
We addressed this, and we had a mock court. No, I mean, I don't know. The guy lives in L.A.
You're still using the N-word liberally in your stand-up act, aren't you, Jim?
If it means, like, nutmeg, maybe.
Hey, you know, and I'm sorry, Jim. I'm just goofing with you. I would hate it. We hate it when someone calls our show and was like, hey, you guys know Howard Stern?
Yeah, we hate that. We do.
But
yeah.
I was just wondering, who makes you laugh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think Brian Regan is really funny. But, you know, it's like, I don't know, Ricky Gervais is really funny.
Ah, there you go. Now, that's the right answer. Yeah. That's the answer I was looking for, Buzz. That guy's a genius.
He is.
So you, what is the, I mean, you're going to do, you can do these sitcoms if they catch hold. It's a big deal, but you've done a lot of acting. You've been in films. What is there any, when you look at your career, when you look at the long range, I mean, is it the acting that you'd like to, you know, hang your hat on? I mean, you say you will always keep a hand in stand-up comedy, but really, that's not always the case if you become a well-known actor. What when you look at your career, what do you see as far as, the ultimate success for you? What would you like to be doing? 20 years from now, would you like to have been known for two or three sitcoms? Is that it? Or would you like to do film?
Well, you know, it's not really... I mean, what I would like is... you know, it sounds funny, but I would like to be friends with you guys. In 20 years, I would like to still be on this phone call. In 20 years, I would like to, you know, it's creative fulfillment. You know, it sounds corny, but, you know, it's, you know, I mean, I'm 40. I've been doing stand-up and acting for 15 years. I'm not somebody that aspires to be on the cover of Rolling Stone or even in Rolling Stone. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like doing stand-up at the Warner Theater is a...
Whore.
What is the date that he's going to be
November 30th and December 1st. Like, any listener could still
be... Do you mean doing
out...
stand-up at the Warner Theater on November 30th?
Like, yeah. No. Well, you know, doing shows like that are a pretty big deal.
It's
you
fun.
Know?
It's... You asked, Mike.
Well, it's not the small room. I mean, it's the, you know, it's the big stage, and that is a big deal.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Jim.
Yeah.
How about that Michael Vick? How about that crazy Michael Vick and those crazy dogs, huh? I bet you've got some platter chatter for that.
Those crazy dogs.
How about that crazy president? What a retard he is.
Crazy dogs.
Well, you're funny.
Yeah, we do love your stuff. We do, and keep doing everything you're doing.
Jim Gaffigan,
can I tell you guys something?
Totally big friends. Sure.
You guys are probably my best friends.
Oh, God bless you.
You're a liar. Thank you, Jim. Enough.
Thanks a lot,
bye
Jim.
Bye.
I love you guys.
I love you,
too.
Bye-bye. Jim Gaffigan. My boys. Mm-hmm. TBS returns July 30, 10 p.m.
And he is the whitest guy on television, next to Conan O'Brien. I really do believe he's the whitest guy.
Have you seen those things on the web on NBC.com?
I've never seen anything he's ever done.
Oh, really?
No. I know his face.
He has been on Letterman.
I think I saw that Sierra Mist commercial.
A million times he's been on Letterman.
Yeah, I think I saw that Sierra Mist.
He is one of those old-time... Buzz, that's why I thought you would have such a boner for him.
Well, I do. I like him a lot. I saw him at Stand Up New York, which is where Letterman's people go to look for new comedians, and that's probably where they found Jim Gaffigan. I love him. He's great.
He played powder.
He's very white.
I didn't like him.
You didn't care for him?
No, I didn't like anything about him. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, guys. I'm a kidder.
You know.
Shh. Quiet. We're going outside. They don't know we're going outside.
Montgomery, do not act like we're talking to you. Just say, Matt, how you doing?
Matt.
Say it louder so we can hear you.
We can't hear anything.
What the hell's...
I mean, I'm doing great.
He knows he's on. You know, Joe was saying to me during the commercial break that he has officially been worn down.
Fresh air's coming in.
You hear the energy? It's gone. The grinning is gone. The laughing is gone. Now,
I'm
look.
Saying, you're probably standing downwind of this.
He's not the kind of guy that's really going to admit to it.
Right.
And if he knows he's on, he's going to go back to the silly grin. He'd probably try to muster it up. Mm-hmm. But I do believe, I'm not trying to, you know, overstate this, that in some small way.
You think we've won?
He has been broken a little bit.
You think we beat him?
Mm-hmm.
I can see you, Montgomery. If that's true, nod your head yes.
Hey, Montgomery.
See how the attitude changes if he knows he's on the air.
Walk over now and tell him that you're on the air and say we want to see how he's doing.
Okay. He's on his way.
Hurry, Montgomery.
Montgomery's
come
like
on, Leroy.
Hiding.
On the air and they want to know how you're doing.
Doing great, guys.
Let's see?
Uh-huh. See?
Yeah. It's all phony.
We broke him.
You heard the real Matt and
we
now
broke
the,
him.
The radio Matt.
He's we lying. Broke him.
He is a broken man.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
It is that time, isn't it? All right, we'll be back with Buzz's News Hour. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.